Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. From Mozart's Piano Sonata No. 8 in A minor, we heard the third movement, the Presto, performed by our guest today, pianist author Hélène Grimaud. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Hélène. Nice to
Hi, Jill. To
meet you.
I am actually
enthralled meeting you, I must say.
That's very kind.
Oh, no, I'm so taken with you as a human being, your whole approach to life and your passion. I became aware of you when you wrote your amazing book, Wild Harmonies, and I, of course, was dealing with you as a musician, but this is a whole other level. But when I began to read the book, I realized that it's not another level, because I think that everything that you do with a passion and you do with an insight, and this is what motivates you, and it's not really separate.
Well, you're right. You know, I've often said that it's not what we do, it's how we do it. And it doesn't matter if you're cultivating plants or raising your children, loving someone, engaging in activities outside of your immediate profession. None of this really matters. It's about what you put of yourself while doing it. And it's a reflection of, you know, the fact that I believe, but this is where we go back to the great romantics, that all these disciplines of our existence are, they take their root in the global intuition. So they're all connected, and not losing sight of that connection between all things is I think ultimately where redemption lies for us as a species.
Well, you do a lot of things, but you do them so very, very well. I mean, I believe I agree with you, but a lot of people may feel that way, but they don't. Perhaps they're not. I don't. Shall we use the word gifted? Of course, you're hardworking and passionate, but again, there is a talent there, and I guess each time you approach a project. Especially with the Brahms, you said that this was really very, very challenging for you. You called it your Mount Everest. And in what sense? Technically or emotionally or just doing both of them at the same time, the Brahms 1 and 2 piano concertos?
Yes, more emotionally about, you know, what this journey represents. Because I think that, you know, both concertos are really drawing and illuminating bridge over Brahms' life. And because of the relationship I've had to this composer for so long, you know, it meant so much to me to do this that, of course, I, you know, set the bar quite high for myself.
And Which you tend to do, I think, because I think you say it can only be done not in any other way than it should be. Excellent.
Exactly. Things have to have a sense of inevitability about them.
Right. I mean, that's it. Yeah. You do it and you do it right and you do it well. But of course, in music, that does transcend those words. I mean, there's a lot more there. Of course, technically, of course, understanding what he was trying to accomplish, interpreting what you want to accomplish. So I guess that's all involved, you know, well beyond, you know, being perfect at what you're doing.
That's right.
Right.
Although, you know, being a perfectionist, it's anyway something that, you know, it becomes the norm. I mean, you don't do something just to do it. And I think artistically, there has to be this sense of something which is absolutely, you know, primordially essential to you as a person, as an artist. Otherwise, nobody really needs it, in fact. So it's... Well, you know, I mean, technically, no, not really, because Brahms was a pianist and he writes very well for the instrument.
Right.
There are, of course, I mean, they're both difficult concertos. The second one is certainly known for being one of the, you know, one of the trickier pieces of the repertoire. It demands a great sense of architecture, of, you know, endurance. And it has a couple of uncomfortable places, but it's more really about the emotional range that is needed in a piece such as this one.
Yes, well, that, of course, that you have to transmit that, and you go through that, I think, while you're interpreting it.
That's right. You have to go through it, because if you do it with a distance, it's just not going to coalesce.
Pianist Hélène Grimaud has just released a new album, The Two Piano Concertos by Johannes Brahms. We listen now to the first movement of the second in B-flat major, the Allegro non troppo. Ms. Grimaud is soloist with the Vienna Philharmonic, conducted by Andres Nelsons. We just heard a live recording of the first movement of Brahms' second piano concerto in B-flat major, performed by our guest today, pianist Hélène Grimaud, with the Vienna Philharmonic, conducted by Andres Nelsons.
So this was something that you had aspired to do? Was this in your plan? Whatever.
Well, yes and no, because for a long time I wasn't sure that the second concerto would become as, you know, essential to me as the first one was. And I couldn't really see recording something again for the very same reasons we just discussed. Mm-hmm. I couldn't see doing number two just for the sake of doing it. At the same time, because of this very, you know, intimate relationship to Johannes Brahms and the fact that I play nearly everything that he's written for the piano, and not just the solo pieces, but also most of the chamber music, I thought, not to use a double negative, but I thought, you know, I can't not play the second piano concerto. That was sort of inconceivable.
Well, it's part of the whole, I guess, yeah.
Yes. So that was my first motivation for doing it, which was the wrong motivation, because it was more of a concept decision. It didn't really come from the heart.
The heart, yes.
The way my usual repertoire choices, you know, incarnate. And so there was a bit of a false start. So I started, I did it, and I thought, okay, now I can say I've done it for myself, obviously.
Right.
But
that
was
never
also
works.
Not what I... No, well, exactly. I mean, it wasn't what I knew I was capable of doing, and I wasn't, you know, satisfied with that first experience. But it was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, because I felt that, you know, this piece wasn't for me quite as necessary. As the D minor, then it became so in the realization of it. You know, so it was interesting. It was somewhat disappointing. And then I thought, well, actually, after all, it's fine. There are many people who play one or the other. Many people don't play both. Actually, for that matter, a lot of people don't play either.
Yes.
And I thought, but, you know, this doesn't have to be. But then I'm very, very, you know, fortunate that the piece manifested itself to me actually 3 years later and came knocking on the door from the inside as mm-hmm. as those pieces tend to do when they're ready for you to come visit them or revisit
yes,
them.
I love that. Maybe. I love what you just said there. You visit them, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's what happened. And then I knew immediately, I knew instantly that this was now the beginning of the story, the real one.
Mm-hmm. And of course...
And that's what led to you know, the idea of recording it. And of course, then for me, it was just unthinkable not to be bringing the D minor back to have, you know, both of them side by side. That was a must.
From the newest release by Hélène Grimaud of the two Brahms concertos, we heard the Allegro Appassionato from the Concerto for Piano and Orchestra No. 2 in B-flat major. Ms. Grimaud was soloist with the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra, Andris Nelsons conducting. It is a marvelous recording, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Really, just wonderful. But I tend to think that everything you do is excellent in the sense that the motivation is there, the emotion is there, the drive is there, and of course the technique is there, which helps. But there's so much else that goes into it. When you decide upon your repertoire, are you do you discuss that with your recording the company that you're doing the recording for, or is that something that you feel that you want to achieve? Of course, the Brahms was something that you, I think, ultimately wanted to achieve, but let's say the next step. I mean, where do you go? Do you kind of take a respite, or is something still clawing at you that you didn't yet approach?
Oh yes, many things, and that's why we have many projects lined up. But it's something which the impulse really comes from me. Of course, you know, when you strongly believe in something, your enthusiasm for the idea, for the project, sometimes for the concept, if it is a concept, it's not always one, and it shouldn't be either. I don't believe that you know, you can come up every year with concept albums, because I think it's, you know, sort of disingenuous if you do it same thing just for the sake of doing it. And sometimes there are some, you know, more plain, not to use a derogatory word, something which is sort of more organic, and you just want to record these pieces. They may not be particularly
great,
attractive,
yeah. mm-hmm.
commercially
yeah.
speaking,
mm-hmm.
in that combination,
yeah.
or may not be particularly original, but you still feel that you want to be, you know, recording this core repertoire in this constellation. But whatever the case may be, it's something that you have to make. I mean, you have to make the team, and of course, the recording label is the team. You have to make them as enthusiastic about the project as you are. And so it is something that you discuss because you want them to understand how you know, vital it is and how passionate you are about it, which is what is going to be the only there's never any guarantee for anything, but
yeah.
if there is any
deciding factor,
one.
Yeah.
exactly for quality and for something which has a contagious, you know, quality about it, is that you have to be 200% behind what you're doing. And so, you know, they have to come to feel that as well. And so that's really more the purpose for the discussion or the conversation about those choices.
When you reach a certain level of technical expertise, is it, I believe in every instrument, it is kind of expected that you're supposed to attempt certain works. I mean, I would imagine that, that it's kind of, well, is she going to do this or she didn't do this or you think she's interested in contemporary? Is that going on or do you make the decisions?
No, I make the decisions.
Mm-hmm. And does any of that ever go into your making the decision?
Well, I mean, yes, I'm not hermetic to, you know, suggestions or there are things that have been suggested to me which, you know, giving them the necessary time to, you know, sort of enter my system and then to digest them and make them mine. But you have to allow for that, you know, process to take place because it can't just be something which is, you know, regurgitated. So so that, you know, that has happened, not very often, to be very honest. Mm.
But there is a level where you have to kind of prove yourself, not even emotionally, but technically, I think, that for all instrumentalists, I mean, all artists for that matter, you know, I think there's something in a sense when I say prove, not to yourself, but to the outside world, that you can do that. And that must kind of lurk in the shadows somewhere.
Well, if it does, I haven't recognized it. You know, for me, it's really more about what I feel I need to do. I don't think, you know, if you're on that trip after 27 years of mm-hmm. of profession, to be going out there feeling that you have to prove something to the outside world is a very dangerous road.
I don't say that you feel it, but maybe does the public demand it on some level?
It depends who your public is. I mean, for example, you have so many wonderful artists, whether it's, I don't know, Maijiro Peresh or Mitsuko Ushida. Mm. I mean, people who have a different type of repertoire.
Yes, it is different.
And who wouldn't be playing Rachmaninoff Third Piano Concerto or Prokofiev Second or you know, Brahms? Or, and it doesn't matter. You don't miss that because what they have to offer in their repertoire of prédilection, we would say in French, mm-hmm. Is so strong and original and poetic and beautiful and inspiring that you don't, you know, is there really a need to hear all Chopin etude by all pianists out there? I mean, even though certainly we probably would like to hear what they have to say, it's not really needed either because, you know, what their contribution to the repertoire is so magnificent. And I always prefer, but this is also the problem with pianists and the piano repertoire. I mean, you don't have enough of a lifetime to get through it.
Yes, yes.
And so I've always had a special, you know, affection for people who choose their battles, who, mm-hmm. You know, stay with the repertoire that is most essential to them rather than, you know, trying and playing everything. I mean, if it is who you are and you need this diversity, this, you know, eclectic approach, then it's, of course, different. But if you're not, to be true to yourself and stay with the music that is yours, I think actually I have a lot of respect for that.
A wonderful opportunity to speak with you, Hélène. Is there another book in the offing, or don't
actually? Yes, I just published a third book in French. It just came out 10 days ago. So,
what is the subject matter of that? Quickly.
Well, it's called "Return to Salem." As a matter of fact, it has to do with returning to this country and symbolically all of what that means. It also very much is about Johannes Brahms, his relationship to Max Klinger, his relationship to literature, poetry, and always Robert and Clara, because I came upon a manuscript in Hamburg and then had to start investigating what was behind that manuscript. And so that's the departure point for the
wonderful
book.
Well, I wish you luck. I look forward to everything that you do. It's been a joy just meeting you and knowing you as an artist on this level. And I hope to see you when you eventually come to Philadelphia. I think they'll be next
year. Thank you for your trust. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you, Hélène. The best to you, dear.
Bye. To you as well. Bye.
We've been speaking with pianist Hélène Grimaud on the occasion of the release of her album on the Deutsche Grammophon label of the two concertos for piano by Johannes Brahms. Here now, the final movement, the Rondo, Allegro non troppo, from the Concerto for Piano and Orchestra No. 1 in D minor. Miss Grimaud performing with the Bavarian Symphony Orchestra conducted by Andris Nelsons. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.